All right, welcome back in. Blazers got a new head coach. Mike and Nori made that hire yesterday. And so being off for the Fan Golf Classic, we're back on today. Let's get to know Mike and Nori a little bit from a basketball perspective. Our good friend Ben Beacon in Minnesota with the Locked On Wolves podcast does an exceptional job. I caught his one of his last episodes. He was doing, you know, takeaways from stuff, and the Giannis trade happened in the middle of his episode. And you could tell he's like, oh, my God. He's
That's happening?
I'm reacting to this live. But he joins us now on Twitter, B Beacon, on social media. Give him a follow there. Ben, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us. We know you're super busy. Chris Finch talked yesterday. The Blazers hired Mike Anori, the lead assistant for your Timberwolves, is now the head coach of the Trail Blazers, and I saw some interesting reactions. Seems Timberwolves fans are sad to lose a Mike Anori. He seems to have a great personality, and what you've seen from him, I think, over the last, like, 5 years with Chris Finch.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me. I think fans are probably, you know, selfishly a little bit upset because I think his TV interviews were the highlight of a lot of fans. The Wolves broadcast does interviews coming out of halftime, and I think they switch off every month, and every time Mike Anori, it was his month. He always had, you know, it's not hard. You don't have to search very far on X to find or on anywhere on social to find some of those clips. But he always had some good analogies to use. He's got great humor. And honestly, like, that extends to what he does with the team, too. I mean, you talk to anybody with the team, and he uses humor to get across points, with the players and the coaching staff. And Chris Finch gave an interview during the draft last night and said the same thing. He's like, look, that's one of his best things. He's got a great sense of humor. He connects with people really well, and he's got a great personality to be an NBA head coach. And you know, beyond the X's and O's, which he's a really offensively minded, like, that's kind of his thing, is offense. But the way he connects with players is the thing that people always talk about, that always comes up, is he's just a really personable guy. And obviously in an NBA locker room, it's a relatively small room, and that's a very important skill set to have. And so that's certainly one of those things that stands out with Mike Anori, that you talk to anybody that's worked with him and they talk about his ability to connect with people.
Yeah. I'm glad you kind of answered my first question there a little bit, but just to dive deeper into it, because we came off a coaching hire of Chauncey Billups, who, by the way, is still, I think, employed by the team. We just can't fire him yet because of the FBI investigation. But he was supposed to be a defensive-minded head coach because of what he did as a player with Detroit. And then, like, 2 years in, everybody realized he doesn't really know how to coach defense. So that was kind of a lie that was sold to the fan base. So Mike Anori's strength is offensively. That's where his mindset and his strength is as a head coach. How did that translate, I guess, on the floor? And what were some of the impacts that players maybe saw playing in a system built around his offensive mind?
Yeah, my understanding is that he was the primary guy that was drawing up and picking what the ATOs were, like, coming out of timeouts, what are we running? He was the guy drawing up the sideline out of bounds plays, the baseline out of bounds plays. And he was kind of like, hey, this is, and if you look at the numbers, you know, on Synergy, the Timberwolves were one of the better ATO teams in the league the last few years. And so that was one of the specialties for Mike Anori. The other thing that he was really responsible for is rotations, and was kind of the guy saying, you know, like, hey, we should pair this guy with this guy. And, like, in the moment, obviously, like, the whole coaching staff is doing that stuff between games when they do their scouts and stuff. But in game, Micah would be the guy who was like, hey, Chris, like, we should go here, and would kind of, you know, interject there. And then the other thing that became apparent with how he talked to me, how he talked to the media, and also just some of the other stops he had prior to coming to Minnesota, is he wants to play a fast paced style of basketball. The Wolves never really played as fast as I think he wanted to. And, you know, part of that is last few years having Rudy Gobert as a piece of it. And Anthony Edwards doesn't actually like to play all that fast, weirdly, but, he wants to play fast. He wants to be aggressive. And if you go back and watch, I mean, he was the acting head coach, during the games when Chris Finch tore his patellar tendon in the playoffs 2 years ago. That was their first conference finals year when they swept the Suns in the first round. And Mike Conley ran into Finch on the sideline, and Finch had to sit behind the bench and couldn't walk the rest of the playoffs. And they swept the Suns. They won in the next round against the Nuggets in seven games. And Mike Anori was the guy patrolling the sidelines. And if you go back and watch his media that he would do after the games, he always talked about, hey, we were actually aggressive. We took the fight to them. We played fast. That's something that he's always trying to drive is pace. And, you know, I think that's kind of, you know, forefront for Mike Anori when it comes to his offensive philosophy.
We're talking with Ben Beacon here of Locked On Wolves. I'm kind of curious about something, Ben, and I don't know if you have an answer, because we talked about this earlier. Like, one big point of contention was his contract got leaked, and or parts of his contract got leaked. It became a hot button issue here locally. Our opinion is basically like, we didn't sign the contract, he did. I don't really care. I know it's very unique in all of sports to have a 1 year guarantee for a new coach, but people are worried that it's gonna hamper young player development. Now, the NBA is really interesting in the fact of, like, once the season starts, I don't know how much time these guys really devote to just, hey, let's talk to just the young guys here on the road trip. I think some of this is just players have to work hard, too, in the off seasons. What did you notice, or what have you heard, I guess, in any regard about player development for the Minnesota staff? I know Mike is a part of that, but in totality, like seeing some of the guys, Jay McDaniels, obviously Ann Edwards being a younger-ish player who's now blossomed into one of the faces of the league, just the development process of the staff in Minnesota that Mike Anori was a part of.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Wolves staff has done an outstanding job. I mean, you mentioned a couple of good ones. I mean, Naz Reid was an undrafted guy who now won Sixth Man of the Year and has a big six-figure contract, and he's going to start for the team this year after they traded Julius Randle and could have started on almost any other team last year. He's at the forefront of the development stuff. And obviously now NBA staffs, I mean, you alluded to it, like, staffs are so big. They've got development coaches, and, you know, every team's got two or three, and they each essentially, usually, depending on the team, will have three or four guys that they're assigned to. And, like, so, like, Ant has his favorite coach that is a Timberwolves employee, but, like, he works with Anthony Edwards all the time. It's probably less, like you mentioned, less one-on-one during the season with the individual guys. But as part of that whole staff, I mean, all of this development has happened under Chris Finch and Mike Anori. And Mike Anori's been the associate head coach. He's been his right-hand man for the last several years. And I think that speaks, you know, again, it's the staff. But it's, I mean, Mike Anori's number two on that staff. And so it speaks to what, you know, his presence. I also think, you know, he's been around the league a lot, but he's still only, I think he's like 52. Like, he's a relatively young head coach as far as head coaches go. I know, I guess nowadays, I guess there's a lot of guys getting jobs that are much younger. But
30-year-old guys, you know, here.
Like, right, yeah. I guess that's changed a little bit in the last few years. But, I mean, some of the staffs he's been on, too, like, he's worked for Michael Malone at a couple different stops. Michael Malone is a highly successful coach. And, obviously, you know, North Carolina thought well about his ability to communicate with young players, you know, to hire him. But Michael Malone, you know, winning a championship with the Nuggets and had success in other stops, and Nori was with him in Sacramento and Denver. And that Denver staff, I mean, Nori was on it for a while. Chris Finch was on it briefly. I mean, that was right around the time they drafted and started to develop Nikola Jokic. So there's a lot of stories, a lot of guys that Mike Anori has worked with closely. And I think the Wolves staff overall has done a great job developing young players. I mean, they, outside of Rudy Gobert, and I guess, you know, ultimately they traded for Julius Randle, but like, much of the rest of the team has been draft and develop type guys. And Mike Anori certainly been part of that.
It's kind of an impossible question to answer, but I'm just curious, like, his name, I feel like, has been at the forefront of a couple of off seasons in a row of this guy could get a gig, and Minnesota's been in some conference finals lately. And he seems to get passed over. Obviously Portland has changed that narrative and now hired him. I'm just, what are your thoughts on him getting passed over? Because he's been in a system for nearly 20 years now in the NBA vying for these chances. And why that maybe would have been that other teams looked at him and said, no, we're going to go elsewhere.
I'm not really sure. I think it's what we just kind of mentioned a moment ago, more than anything else, is everybody's looking for the shiny new toy. You know, it's a much exciting, you know, sexier hire to sign to bring somebody in who's, you know, I mean, look at, like, Dusty May is a good example. Like, obviously he won a title, but, like, you know, the guy's coached, you know, high major basketball for 2 years, and now he gets an NBA job. Chris Finch is the same story as Mike Anori. I mean, Chris Finch won a couple European championships. He coached in England, of all places, in a professional league there. Like, he was a G League head coach under, you know, the Daryl Morey Rockets, and was kind of at the forefront of the 3-point revolution as the coach in the G League there. So Chris Finch, it was the exact same thing. I remember for years, Chris Finch's name was in rumors for teams as interviewing, but not getting jobs. And then he ends up being the right-hand man for Michael Malone. Then he's the right-hand man for Nick Nurse in Toronto, and the Wolves hire him away. Same story for Mike Anori, where these longtime assistants, they grind away, they work for a lot of different successful head coaches, and they don't always get their due. And so it's just less exciting and less of a fun, you know, sell to your fan base to say, like, hey, we hired this longtime assistant to be our head coach versus we hired this guy that just won an NCAA championship, or we hired this guy that was the offensive coordinator for this other really young head coach that just won a title, you know, Joe Mazzulla or whoever. Like, so I think it's more of a hard sell to the fan base than anything else, because by all accounts, The guy knows his X's and O's. He's good with players. He's obviously great in with the media, which is one of those things that is also important if you're an NBA head coach. And so, you know, he checks all the boxes. I think it really is just there's only 30 jobs, and there's a lot of other great worthy candidates, and his name just never really stuck out. But now I think with the repeated success the Wolves have had, that certainly has helped. And then you look back and you look at some of the other teams he's worked for and other successful head coaches. Malone, I mean, he worked for Dwayne Casey, who won a Coach of the Year award and has had some success too. I think it kind of made his name rise back to the top of the list.
You know, I saw them when they made the Randle trade. I don't know if you went there, maybe you didn't at all, but like momentarily, I'm like, oh, they're creating cap space. They're going to sneak back into the Giannis stuff because they had reportedly been sniffing around that at the trade deadline. They didn't make that move. They signed Io, and then they ended up not getting Giannis. I'm really kind of curious here. Like, do you love that you wake up today and now that Giannis has finally been traded from Milwaukee, the next one that the media is going to latch on and give us when we don't need it is.
Oh, yeah.
And Edwards' clock in Minnesota, Ben, it's ticking. They better do something now or he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, everybody had to know it was coming. I think I do think it's going to go away. That chatter will go away unless the year goes badly, because already there's been, you know, that narrative started, I think, like yesterday morning, basically like right after the Giannis trade. There was a Brian Windhorst comment, which I think got taken out of context a little bit. He was talking specifically about the Wolves offense and double teams and how it was easier for Ant when Cat was there. But it was a pretty specific comment. And then it was, you know, the other guys on the TV shows that took it and ran with it. And then very quickly you had Kendrick Perkins on TV saying, hey, I actually made some calls. I'm not just talking off the dome here. Like, he had like a minute where he's like, I talked to some people that know Ant. He's happy. He wants to roll with his guys. He wants to roll with Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid, Ayo Dosunmu. And then you had a couple local beat reporters. Chris Hine at the Star Tribune does an awesome job covering the team. And he wrote a book about Anthony Edwards. And he goes, everyone close to Ant says he's not just like content. He's really happy. And he, you know, he doesn't want anything to change in terms of his, you know, change of scenery. And so there is an element. And for Wolves fans, I mean, Kevin Garnett essentially played GM for a decade and it didn't go super well. Like, the Wolves listened to Kevin Garnett and brought in the guys. They signed Troy Hudson. They signed Joe Smith to an illegal deal, like all this stuff 20 plus years ago. And it led them to one conference finals and a bunch of first round exits. But Kevin Garnett was fiercely loyal to his guys and to the team. And there's a little bit of that with Anthony Edwards, where he's got his guys. Vibes matter. Clearly him and Julius Randle didn't have the best vibes, but he loves Nas. He loves Jaden. He loves Ayo. Mm-hmm. And as long as they don't listen to him for every single move, but they take into account the fact that the vibes matter to Anthony Edwards, I think it'll be fine. I do think they did a good job already of trying to quash that. I think if the Wolves get off to a bad start, you know, maybe trade deadline next year, we start hearing more of that chatter. But he does have 3 years left on the deal. He makes All-NBA next year. They can give him a Supermax next summer extension if he makes All-NBA, which he would have had he not, you know, been hurt a little bit this year. And, you know, if they trade him, he doesn't get to sign that Supermax. So there's a lot of incentive for him to stay put. I'm not super worried about it. It's just more annoying than anything else. That, and you guys know, I mean, being in a mid to small market, that thing is going to, it's going to crop up no matter what you do. And thankfully, it sounds like there's really no, you know, fire where there's really, there's not even smoke, honestly. Yeah, yeah. But it sounds like the Wolves and everybody around the Wolves are going to do a pretty good job of trying to kind of quell that conversation.
Well, especially when you got bigger worries like the Portland Trailblazers hot on your heels.
That's right, yeah. Hey, I said before the season I thought the Blazers would be in the play-in. I thought that they were going to be a good team, and it's a nice roster. I think they're going to be good.
All right, hopefully we can make a trade, get Jaylen Brown, and make this interesting in the West. Good stuff. Ben Beacon, our good friend for Locked On Wolves, on Mike and Nori as the new coach of the Blazers. Thank you so much, Ben, for hopping on. We appreciate you jumping on and giving us your thoughts on the hire of Mike and Nori.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Ben Beacon. Let's react a little bit to it.
Yes.
A little bit more. Your thoughts are welcome. It is a Wednesday, but we're doing a mail sack, so it's kind of a mail sack Wednesday today.
Yes, it will be.
Sparta TRT mail sack.
We can't miss a mail sack.
We cannot. Just,
that can't happen.
So
not allowing it.
All thoughts are welcome. 503-864-6326. Get to more next on The Fan.